When I was 19 years old, I got a job at a hospital in Manitoba. And working in a materials management where we would go to every area of the hospital and make sure that all the carts were stocked up. And so while I was there, I managed to get enrolled in a pilot project for paramedics. There weren't any in Manitoba at the time, and so we began to run units out of the hospital with doctors oversighting us. We began to train in the ORs and all the different places. And I began to see a lot of heartache and hurt. I came from a great home. My parents were pastors, and I was raised so well by such amazing parents. But for me to get out amongst the streets and the back alleys and the suicides and the murders and the child abuse and all the things that I began to see just kind of made me really realize how much pain so many other lives were in. And in order to kind of handle what I was seeing, because almost all of my friends are divorced, alcoholics, drug addicts. When you begin to see life at its worst, wherever you are in any kind of an emergency or a first responder, you have to really watch yourself because you can get cynical so fast. And I did something that really changed my life. And I began to take God's word. And I was a Christian. I'd given my life to Christ as a young teenager. And so I began to recognize, and I'd hear different preachers preach, that God's word is so special that if you will spend time in it, it will change you. It'll do something to you. And so I began, back then we had cassettes. And so I began to pick up cassettes, order in cassette series from different preachers that I would really enjoy. And I found that, and here's what I would do. Each morning I'd get up really early. I had to be at work early, so I'd be up about 6. And then I would begin to go through one message on those cassettes every morning. And I would listen to this minister speak. And I would just, me and a guy were living together, neither of us were married yet, and so we had this porch, this old leatherette couch or mahogahide or whatever they call it now, and I would just lay there and I would just play this message, and I'd begin to absorb what God's word was saying. I went through a lot of different preachers. I found that there were some really cool preachers, and that when you could see them, they were cool. They could preach and just really encourage you. But the more hungry I became for God's word, the more I didn't enjoy somebody just encouraging you. You're wonderful. You're awesome. You're incredible. Get up. Keep going. Don't stop. That kind of emotional encouragement. I began to stop enjoying that as I began to desire to know God's word. And it was amazing because the most popular preachers that were then, and even today, I find the same thing. I just find that encouragement just doesn't last. But I begin to hear people teach me the word, and they would go into God's word, and they would begin to show me what Jesus said, what God says, what the gospel is. And as I begin to listen to this, it did something to me. From 19 and on, 19 when I remember clearly at 19 years of age starting to do this, and I've actually never stopped. I would reach out to friends, and I'd say, hey, do you have any cassette tapes, or do you have any series of messages by different preachers? And I would just borrow them and collect them. I would listen each morning to a message, and then on my way to work, I had about a 12-minute drive to work. I'd put a cassette in and listen to about a quarter of a message, and I'd hear it on the way to work. And then whenever I got in the car, I would always listen to music. I stopped listening to music. I didn't stop. I just very little, and I began to listen to great men and women teaching the Word of God, and I would just fill myself up with the Word of God, and something began to change in my life. There became a confidence that I'd never had. There became a sense of identity that I sometimes struggled with. There came a sense of purpose that was hard to explain to others who at 19 were incredibly flighty. A lot of my friends were still trying to figure out who they were. They were still being tempted by so many things out there. And I kid you not, everybody's tempted. But I began to sense a strength. And I never messed with the things that destroyed. There's a graveyard in the town I grew up in with 7 of my friends, literally just in a line, who'd all died doing stupid things, driving drunk or running from the police or things like that. And so I began to get hungry for God's word. And I want to talk to you about this today, because I'm surprised today how many people have a belief system. Okay, that's your BS. Belief system, that you can't understand the Bible. When you read it, you can't get it. And I'd rather just listen to, I've had people say, I'd just rather listen to you, Pastor. Well, I got news for you. If the only word you get is the 25-minute message I do once a week, you're in deep doo-doo, because there's no way that you're going to learn enough of the word. And it's God's word. So let me show you some of the most powerful scriptures about the scriptures that really helped me. They changed my life. And today, I still do what I started when I was 19 years old, which is each day, spend some time listening, spend some time reading good Christian teaching books, reading the Bible, because I found that God's Word had a tremendous effect on me. Now, when I would stay out of the Word and not listen to it, I didn't feel guilty. I just found that it was like not eating. You ever try not eating for a couple of days? You know, all of a sudden, you get so hungry. And I found the more that I got into God's Word, the more I wanted it. But it was opposite than food. When you don't eat food, you crave it. I found that when I got out of God's Word, and I didn't study or meditate or do some, we call them devotions, that I could lose my desire for the Word. Weeks could go by, months could go by, and all of a sudden I'd realize one day, what is wrong with me? I'm struggling here, I'm struggling there. I need to get in and just begin to listen and feed on God's Word, because God's Word is not like any other book. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The word gospel means good news. And this is not just any good news. People ask me if I follow the Bible. I always say no. They go, what? I said, no, I don't follow the Bible. I follow Jesus. There is a difference. People can take any verse they want out of context and say, well, here it says you can shoot kids, whatever, I'm making that up. But any kind of, they can just take a verse out of context. But I tell them, no, I follow Jesus. Now, the rest of the Bible is anointed, and it will teach you and guide you through understanding history and understanding Jesus. But I follow Christ. And this says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ. For it is the what? It's the power of God. What? Unto salvation, to everyone that believes. I want you to notice the word believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Now, there's something about a human body. One of the things I love reading is some of the latest medical stuff. I read medical reports, medical books now. And I did a study a little while ago on when they would do drugs, drug analysis, and they would try to see, you know, if the drug was any good, and one group got a sugar pill and the other group got the real drug they were trying out. And they found out that people who were taking the sugar pill could get healed up at a better rate than people taking the actual drug. And this phenomenon is so present in all of the drug trials that they now have a lot of books about it, simply showing us that what you believe has a profound effect on you. And that's something that all of us need to realize, that what you truly believe shapes your entire future. I always make this analogy. If you think you're stupid, you actually believe that, it will affect what you reach for in life. It'll affect who you believe you can marry. It'll affect education and what you try to take when it comes to what you want to do with your life. It affects you when you develop friendships. People will sit and listen to a message or go somewhere, and they just continually feel like, I'm just not there. Everyone looks so smart, so together. I'm so messed up. I'm so stupid. And you would be surprised, as a pastor in counseling, how many people I talk to that feel they are inferior to everybody that's out there. What do you believe? And what you believe about yourself? We found out that, and this is very true, that what you believe about your health, what you believe about hospitals. As a paramedic, one of the things I would often do is start the IVs in the pre-op room. I would go into the ORs and also do the ET tubes with the doctors. But one time I was working on a lady who, according to the OR slate, had routine surgery. And she was a very healthy person. And as I was starting her IV to get her ready to go into the OR, she looks at me with this fearful look. And she goes, I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. I said, ma'am, you're having routine surgery? We do this all the time, 5 a day in that OR alone. You're going to be told, no, I know I'm going to die. No, I'm going to die. And she kept saying, I said, stop. And so as I'm starting her IV, she just wouldn't stop declaring, I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. She 9-9, that's what we call, her heart went into a rhythm that wasn't viable for health. She began to throw PVCs and then wham, into a rhythm that she's literally dead and dying. And so I called 9-9, the whole team rushes into the OR, and we have to zap her and bring her back. And when we get her converted to a normal rhythm, the doctor, who I knew well, old gray-haired guy, he comes out and he goes, "Okay, what in the world happened here?" And I said, "I do not know." I said, "Either I was starting her IV, and she looked at me, and she started to tell me over and over and over and over again, she knew she was going to die. She was afraid she was going to die. She said she just oozed fear." And he looked at the OR nurse, and he says to her, "Take her off my slate, and I want you to make a note. I will never operate on this woman." He knew that what we believe. You know, in hospitals like the Mayo and the Rochester hospitals, these great hospitals, they have learned to bring people and begin to get them hopeful, begin to make sure that they're not in a fearful state. And they have done tons of tests to show that a person that believes things are going to be okay, just that little has a huge effect on just their health. And so we know when you study business, there's a science in business. It'll tell you that positive affirmations are very important. If you want to go out and make sales, if you want to rise up in the company, get rid of your negative thinking and begin to have positive affirmations. Did you know that all that teaching that they found in the business world, that they found in the medical world, all come from the Bible? It's the Bible that originally taught that. And it goes beyond that. And it says that the truths that are in God's word, that when you hear them and understand them, they have a profound effect on your life. It says, don't be ashamed of the good news and the gospel of Christ, for there's power there, and that this power is to those who believe. Anybody can read the Bible. There are evil men of old, like Khrushchev, for example, that leader of a country, who had the entire New Testament memorized, and it didn't do him a bit of good. There are people today who study the Bible just to knock it and to find what they think is mistakes all through it. But when you begin to read God's Word and ask His Spirit to teach you, there is a revelation that begins to take place in God's Word that impacts you in a powerful way. A number of years ago, I did a message called The Big Picture. I think we still have it. I don't know if we put it in the guest packs or not, but a friend of mine was a nurse. And when she heard this message, it kind of did in 40 minutes, it went from Genesis to Revelation and just explained in an overall look, what does the Bible in general mean? Why is it like this? Why is the world the way it is? And we just kind of blasted through this in one teaching. Well, she took it to work with her, and she got four of her friends to join her in the car. Said, "I want you to listen to this over lunch." During lunch, she just put that cassette player in there, and like I said, and they sat there while they're eating and just listened to the teaching of God's word as to why God made man, why this world is such an awful place, why Jesus is a choice, and that God doesn't control the whole world, and He's not in control of our personal lives unless we, and I just showed them how. All four of them at the end of that message turned to their friend, and they said, "You know, could you play that prayer again? I'd like to give my life to Christ." And the other three said, "Us too." And they just backed it up and played the prayer of saying, "Jesus, come into my life." There is something about hearing the truths in God's word that registers on the human heart. We've had people, I started preaching at 17 years of age in my father's church, and I've been preaching the word for a lot of years, and I have found that people will come in from all kinds of backgrounds and pasts, and they'll sit and they'll listen, and they'll say to me, as I listen, there's just something in me that knows this is true. This is true. And that truth begins to impact them in a powerful way. God's word is so amazing that when you hear it's His word and you begin to understand it, it begins to do something to you. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Now, this is showing us that there is a faith that the Bible calls a God kind of faith. It's different than just the kind of faith we all have where, I believe the plane will fly, so I'll get on it. Okay, I'll get in your car. I believe you're a good driver. I'm going to get in. But this is a faith that is a supernatural faith that allows you to believe truths. And these truths in God's word are things that people cannot prove. Everyone thinks science is so amazing that it figures everything out. But science is almost become a religion where if something doesn't match up with science, we think it's not true. But there are a number of things science has never been able to figure out. Like, what is the purpose of man? Where does life come from? And how does this energy source called a person fit in that human body, and where does it go? If all energy never disappears, it just goes somewhere, it can change states, then where does it go when that person dies? And when you begin to analyze, you begin to realize they don't know, so they literally make guesses as well. But when you begin to go into God's Word, His Word is so alive, it's filled with so much truth that when you listen to it, it causes you to believe. It is something about it that the more you read, and believing in God's truths are important because God's Word tells you who you are. Now, your dad has told you who you are. The school tells you who you are. You know, your sports team tells you who you are. Your spouse is telling you who you are. Everywhere we go, people are telling us who we are, and we end up believing somebody. But you will never be what you were intended to be till you begin to hold off everybody's opinion about you and go, I will only get the opinion from God. And what does He say about me? And God says you're marvelously made in His likeness and image. God says there are plans for you that are bigger than anything you could imagine. God will show you how valuable and how special you are. And when the world makes it, you feel like there's nowhere to go and nothing you can do. You are trapped. You need to get into God's Word and know that God will always make a way. God loves you, cares for you, and He wants your life to increase and to grow, and that you should never plateau. His goal is never to bring pain and heartache. John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that you could have life and have it more abundantly, which means superior in quality, innumerable in quantity. When you begin to meditate and when you begin to listen to God's Word and you're looking for what God thinks, what God says, it has a profound effect on you. Michaela, one of my daughters, came home from kindergarten one day, and Sal and I love to put them to bed at nights because at nighttime they'll talk nonstop. They want to stay up. Dad, another thing happened at school. And so as we were all putting them to bed, I was walking by Michaela's room, and I heard her crying. She was in kindergarten, so I guess she'd be about five. And so I walked in there, and I just said, Michaela, are you okay? I'm okay. I said, well, why are you crying? I don't know. I said, well, tell Daddy, why are you crying? And so I sat on the edge of her bed, and her little chubby chin's on her, you know, in her eyes. She's rubbing her eyes, and she's tears are coming down. That kind of breaks a daddy's heart. And so I said, well, tell me. A little boy at school said I'm ugly. She starts crying again. I didn't go, that's nothing. Are you kidding me? Wait till you. I knew that. Each year they have, you need to learn to live not just in your world, but one of the things I love about life is, you know, I get to live in Sally's world, I get to live in Eden's world, Danielle's world, all of my kids, all of their spouses. You get this beautiful joy of living in their worlds. And so I looked at her and I said, well, the little boy said you were ugly?
Yes.
So I said, look at me. What has your daddy said for your entire life?
Well, you say I'm beautiful.
I said, cool. I said, and the little boy says you're ugly.
Yes.
I said, who's smarter? You gotta engage them through questions. And she goes, well, you are. That's right. All of a sudden, it just hit her. And she goes, I'm beautiful and I'm smart too. I said, yes, you are. You see, there's something about truth. Today, we don't have much truth, and most people don't agree there is truth. They believe in situational ethics. They believe that it's your truth. Ever hear that word? It's my truth. Well, what does that mean? It means you can have a different truth, and I can have a different truth. Well, you can't raise kids in that kind of a vacuum. There is truth, or there isn't truth, and God's Word provides truth that we can bank on. And this truth impacts us in a powerful way. As we get into hearing and meditating on God's word, it does something to us. There can be truth, but it doesn't mean that you believe it and that you will follow it. So it's crucial that we do that. Hebrews 4:12, another verse that talks about God's word. Listen to this one. This is the Amplified Version, which is a beautiful version of the Bible. It says, "For God's word is alive." What? It's alive. It's not the dead words in a book that you're reading about Harlequin romances or Westerns or even great teaching on medical things or things you're learning. This is God's word is alive. It's alive. And it says it's working. It is active. It is powerful. It's effective. And it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts all the way into us where the soul and the spirit are joined, to the center of our joints and bones. It penetrates until it divides even soul, spirit, joints, marrow. And it judges, discerns the thoughts, the ideas, the feelings, the attitudes, the intentions in our hearts. I began to study world religions. I read a ton of stuff through Islam and Buddhism and I just began to read, and I would listen to different people who begin to share some of these new agers who they're so deep you kind of go, whoa, that's deep. I don't even get that, but that's deep. And you got to understand something. If you don't get it, no one probably does. They just tend to go, ooh. And I begin to recognize as I looked for truth that there are some, that all religions have some truth, okay? They have some truth. All societies have some truth. But I was stunned as I read the Bible through over and over that there was truth here so profound that it changed me. It made me live a certain way. It actually gave me strength to say no to temptation. It gave me strength to know who I was. When everybody else was trying to judge me and tell me who I was and what I wasn't, there seemed to be this incredible ability if I stayed in His Word. In other words, if I continued to study His Word, something happened to me, and I would continue to grow and continue to change. And so many people will talk about hitting a point in their life where they have this quote-unquote moment of, who am I? What is life all about? Whether it's a midlife crisis, and people begin to do stupid things when they come to the edge of these questions. They'll destroy their families, their finances, their bodies. People will begin to get into a funk and then a depression because they're asking questions they can't find answers for. And I recognized the power of questions. But then here, did you know, and I haven't got time to go into this part, but as you begin to look at the mysteries of life, the Bible says all the mysteries are hidden in Christ. Even Christians begin to think they know the Bible, so they start studying this person. Listen, there's nobody on the planet that with their brain is going to find deeper principles than Jesus, who is the Son of God, puts there. So why do we even go there? Go to God's Word, and as you do, you will find that the truth people know about, you will own and be able to make work. 1 John 5:4 says, "This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." When you begin to focus on God's word, listen to it, read it, something happens on the inside of you, and you begin to grow up in strength. You begin to grow up with a sense of purpose. You begin to grow up when others are wishy-washy and iffy and they're making dumb. You begin to grow up with wisdom. You begin to grow up in a way, even doesn't matter how old you are, life begins to go in a direction because you begin to believe things that are true. And then you begin to make wise choices because of what you believe. My time is up, but I want to really challenge you today that if you do not begin to look to God's word, that it is alive, it is powerful, it is beautiful, and begin to get into God's word in a way that says, teach me, God, I want to grow. That mysteries that seem to baffle you about you, why am I like this? You know, it'll help you show you which emotion is predominant when you make your worst decisions. The Bible is incredible. I've been studying it for years and years, and I've read a ton of books. And I'm telling you that as I begin to just settle and begin to read, and I ask God, would you just teach me this word, that not only do I feel a sense of wisdom and knowledge, but there's faith that rises up in me, a faith I didn't have before, but comes because I meditate in God's word. And so my time is up, but I'll give you a little one-liner of what I do with God's word. When I find things in the word of God that are wow, I read them out loud in my quiet time. I just find a promise in God's word, and I'll just read it out loud, and then I'll meditate on that promise. What does meditation mean? It just means shutting off my cell phone, my iPads, my computer, the TVs, and everybody else around me. Find a little quiet time for 15 minutes or so, and then just say, God, speak to me. And I find this quiet time. Something that our world has almost lost is this ability to just go a little deeper and begin to know who you are. Get your roots deep down into what you believe. Because I have found in society today that people are not rooted and grounded and established in the truths of God's word. And so it makes them, and it causes them to do all sorts of foolish things. I counsel with people who are very successful. And you'll just see that they're, people are brilliant in one linear area, and they can still be incredibly ridiculous in the area of relationships, marriage, handling finances. We can all be good in one area, but to begin to have the entire areas of your life, the Bible says that God's word will cause every area of your life to change and to be blessed. If you'll learn truth, it becomes alive in you, and then you'll begin to make wise decisions, and you begin to follow Jesus. You begin to follow his teachings, and I'm promising you right now, I love the testimony of that young lady who, you know, came from Buddhism and said, it took me a year. I like people who are like that. They don't just come in and make an emotional decision. They come in and they listen to the word being taught. They listen to the words. They listen to the principles. They compare that to what they see. People aren't stupid. We're all smart. And as you listen, it's like you begin to sense something on the inside. But as she was listening, something else was happening. As you listen to God's word, it causes faith to rise up on the inside. And this faith is a faith that believes truth. Did you know that as God's faith rises up in you, it also helps you to identify truth? John says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Listen to this. God's word doesn't just point to the truth and say, go in that direction, and then you have to go make yourself free by the works of your own hands. No, it says that when you know truth, something profound happens inside of you, and you begin to be set free before you do a thing. Isn't that incredible? And you will know the truth, and the work that you do following the truth will set you free. No. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We are fools to not just continue in God's word and each day set aside some time when we're making decisions as young men and women, as grandpas and grandmas. What would Jesus do? What are the truth of God's word? If you stick to his truths, even if it's hard. I've taught my kids growing up that don't just do the easy things. A lot of times, if you do the hard things, you'll find that's wisdom. It's harder sometimes to make this decision, harder sometimes to say no to this, harder sometimes to lose friends because you won't go participate in that. Life can have hard decisions, but the difference between children and adults is the fact that adults learn to have what is truth and how to make wise decisions. And you make decisions that have wisdom, and it's wisdom that will guide you. And the proverb says, make every room in your house blessed, or make every area of your life blessed. Jesus is in love with you, and he sent his word so that you and I could begin to read and know who he is, what he's done. That's why we come to church. Now, I know that some churches can be really different, but if a church is designed the way Jesus intended it to, it should continually show you who you are, how blessed you are, how capable God has made you, and what he wants to do with you is to take your life into places of blessing, of achievement, of greatness, and in the entire time that you're walking this journey out, you're getting to know him better and better. Father, I pray right now that you would touch each person here, that the presence of God would be sensed. Father, if they're here and they've been turned off by religion like I am, that, Father, we'd look to a relationship with Jesus. I pray that for every believer that's here, they begin to hunger and thirst for your word and for truth. And for those that don't know you yet, I pray that today they'll make the decision. As we're praying right now, I'm going to close my message down in a powerful prayer. It is a prayer of giving your life to Jesus, of asking God to come in. He's forgiven you. He's created an incredible life for you, but he'll never force himself into your world. He's waiting for you to ask him. But when you do, he'll come into your life in a powerful, beautiful way. So before I lead everybody in that prayer, for all those who would just say, Leon, I need to give my life to him. I need to get right with God. Just all of you, just open your eyes and just wave at me. Just say, yeah, Leon, include me in that prayer today. I'm giving my life to Christ right now. Hands up all the auditorium. Say, yeah, include me. Thank you. Thank you. Others. Anybody else? For those right now who are watching in the other campuses, there's a pastor or a leader at the front, and they're waiting for your hand. And when I pray, this prayer is going to go through all of our campuses with great and wonderful people making a choice for God. I'll give you about 3 seconds, and we're going to pray. And let's all pray with these amazing folks, because many of us made this decision ourselves. Let's pray this out loud with them. It goes like this. Just say, Dear God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus, who died in my place and qualified me to be in your family, forgiven, with a beautiful life ahead of me. So Jesus, come into my heart. I'm following you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful, how wonderful that is.